We're going to read this morning in the last chapter of John's Gospel, chapter 21 of John's Gospel. And we're going to read from verse 15, just 11 verses to complete John's Gospel. John 21, verse 15. So, when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon, Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that disciple should not die. But Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die. But, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. May God bless the reading of His precious word. Shall we pray? Blessed God, our Father, we bow before Thee now, and we thank Thee for this wonderful book we've been studying so long, the Gospel of John. And as we come to the last verses, we ask that the Holy Spirit might make them clear to us. O God, may the Holy Spirit speak this morning. May we see no man save Jesus only. And may we hear the voice of the Son of God this morning. Just as thou didst speak to Peter, and in speaking, prepare him for the life's work that lay ahead. We would ask thee to speak to some here. There's some young ones here this morning. We thank thee that we've been able to start a work for young people. And we ask, Lord, that thou speak to young hearts this morning, as well as those of us that are older. And grant that decisions might be made for eternity and for thy glory. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we come to the end of the Gospel of John. I was checking up and I find out that it's just 5 years ago next Sunday that I gave my first talk on John's Gospel here. And whenever I've spoken on Sunday morning, with two exceptions, in all those 5 years, I've been in John's Gospel, so we've been rather slow. But as we said Thursday night, I think we've only spoken, I think it was about 8, maybe 10 Sunday mornings all through last year. Our conference takes out 12 weeks, and of course we have preachers around here now, and if you're going to go through a book, it takes rather a long time with the way we're going. But still, personally, I've enjoyed John's Gospel in these studies more than I ever have before. And I have been through John's Gospel on several occasions, 4 or 5 occasions before. But I really have enjoyed it. And God has spoken to my heart. And I trust He's spoken to all of our hearts. Now, there's some here this morning that were not here and probably never heard of Parker the Founds when we started these studies. And therefore, down through the weeks and months and years, we have kept on recapitulating, telling over again and over again the theme of John's Gospel and the breakdown of John's Gospel and the divisions of John's Gospel. But we won't do that this morning. We've done it so many times. We'll try and get into these last verses and see what God has to say to us. This last chapter is called the Epilogue. All theologians call it the Epilogue. That's something that comes at the end. It's not called an appendix, for it's not an appendix. It's not something added on. It's the last words, the final words of John in this wonderful gospel. And it gives us scenes and gives us things that you cannot find in any other of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they don't tell you about this visit to the seashore. They don't tell you of how the Lord probed the very heartstrings of Peter as he spoke to him by the fireside. But John tells us. And there are many things in John's Gospel that we don't get in the other Gospels. The raising of Lazarus, for instance. John gives us seven miracles. His Gospel is written about around 7 miracles or 7 signs. And he says in chapter 20, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this Gospel. True, there were many other signs. But he selected 7, some of which are not in the other Gospels. But now we get down to these final stages. And the last time I was talking, we were talking about the first half of this 17th chapter. And I think we called our subject Fishers of Men. Fishers of Men, I think that's what we call it. You see, the Lord was risen now from the dead. And I don't want to go over this in detail because we did the last time I spoke. But the Lord told the disciples he would see them in Galilee. And it's pretty obvious he meant to see them in a mountain, because you find it was in a mountain that he met them. But here they were down at the seashore. They'd gone down back to where they used to be. If you look at Mark chapter 1, just turn a moment to Mark chapter 1, and you'll see that verse 15, if I remember rightly, it says, verse 16, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. In my Bible, I have that underlined. Went after him. And they had 3.5 years, wonderful years, with the Lord Jesus. And now the Lord, they don't know quite what's happened. They know he's raised from the dead, but it seemed as if the bottom had fallen out of the world, and they get back to Galilee, and old Peter says, I'm going back fishing. Now, as we said last time, we don't condemn Peter for this. I think there are occasions when, even though you're called to full-time service for the Lord, there are occasions when you have to go back to the secular work. I have done that. The Apostle Paul did that on several occasions. Sometimes he worked with his hands and was proud of it. Other times, he couldn't. He's out pioneering. I can understand Peter. They had to get a living somehow. That was their trade. That was their job, fishing. And he went back fishing. He said, I go fishing. And the other said, we go with thee. And you know all about it. We talked about it last time. That night they caught nothing. And then the Lord said, now let down your net on the right side. That's to say, if you're going to do the fishing, you've got to do it my way, the right way. Put the net down on the right side. And if you and I are going to serve the Lord, and we're going to do some fishing and seeking to win souls to Christ, we must do it His way. Then there'll be blessings. Don't let's go out in our own strength. Don't let's make our own plans. Let's get His plans. And let's wait for His call morning by morning and His leading morning by morning to lead us. So the first half of the chapter is dealing with fishing. And really, our lives, after we're saved, our lives should be, if we're going to serve Him, this is what we've got to do. We have to be fishers. Or else we have to be shepherds. And the second half of the chapter is dealing with shepherding. The first part's with fishing. When the Lord ascended up on high, we were reading this morning in Ephesians chapter 4, He ascended up on high and He gave gifts to men. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now the evangelist is the man that does the fishing. But the pastor and teacher is the man that does the shepherding. So the service in the church, the ministerial service in the church is divided into two elements, in the church, although I consider that the evangelistic work is outside of the church. To the evangelist, the message is go into all the world and preach the gospel, and there is no spot you could be in the world, and you'd be out of God's will, as long as He was sending you there, of course, because all the world includes every spot. And we have to go out with the gospel. And then the evangelist brings the converted souls in. And then the pastor and teacher takes hold of them and trains them in the church. And so the church is built up. That's the New Testament church. So the Lord has dealt with them about fishing. And now He comes to the second part, verse 15. I like to link up this last chapter. It's come to me in a kind of fresh way as I've been thinking of it lately. This last chapter with the first chapter. It's amazing how sometimes God takes you right back where you started, you know, and brings memories to your mind and links up, and then you can see His pathway. When Jacob left home and he went across the desert and he put a stone for his pillow and went to sleep that night, the first night away from home, God appeared to him. And from the stone, he built a bit of an altar there, and he called it Bethel. He said, this is none other than the house of God. Beth is house, and El was God, Bethel. And over 20 years passed by, Jacob was doing many things his way. Planning, scheming, contriving, all sorts of way to get blessing. And yet behind the scenes, God was wonderfully blessing him. And when finally he broke Jacob down and touched his thigh, so that from the rest of his life he walked as a lame man with a stick, his thigh was put out of joint. When God dealt with him that night, he again said, "This is the house of God." When God spoke to him at the brook, Peniel. And when he got back to Bethel, he built another altar. What do you call it? What do you think he called that? Not Bethel, but he called it El Bethel. What does that mean? If Bethel is the house of God, then El Bethel means God of the house of God. And he learned lessons and he knew more about God, not only the house of God, but he learned about the God of the house of God through life's experiences. And God brought him back to where he started, to Bethel. After all the experiences, he brought him back. Until then, he worshipped him, and he said, God of the house of God. Now, that's what God wants to do with you and me. If you go back to the first chapter of John, and we'll go back for a moment, you'll find in the 35th verse, it says, again the next day, as Jesus walked, John stood, again the next day, verse 35, as John stood with two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." He didn't say now, which taketh away the sin of the world. We dealt with that long ago when we were talking about the first chapter. You don't have to be saved twice. Behold the Lamb of God, verse 29, which bears away the sin of the world. That's salvation when you see the Lamb of God bearing away the sin of the world. That's the first day's experience, the day of salvation. But the next day is the day of consecration. When you look upon Jesus as he walked, and you seek to put your footsteps in his footsteps and follow him the day of consecration. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And these two disciples, they followed Jesus and they said, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He said, "Come and see." Now link up chapter 1. With chapter 21. In chapter 1 he said, "Come and see." In 21 he said, "Come and dine." What a wonderful link. Come and see. Come and dine. And he said, "Master, where goest thou?" Now I could answer. He told us in other places. Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So when they said, "Master, where dwellest thou?" Where do you think he took them? He said they went and abode with him. It was the 10th hour. And the rest of that night they spent with him. But spending that night with the Lord Jesus here on earth changed their lives. And the next morning, one of the two which heard John speak followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. I think the other one was John. I think so. I can't prove it, but I think it was John. And Andrew went and found his brother Peter. And he first findeth his own brother Simon and said to him, "We found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus beheld him. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Simon, son of Jonah," chapter 1. Look at chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah." Can you see the link between chapter 1? Can you see the Lord's probing his heart And as he said to him by the fireside, Simon, son of Jonah, it flashed through his mind by the first time he ever spoke to me. That's how he called me, son of Jonah. You don't find it all the way through the gospel except there in the first chapter. Simon, son of Jonah. Now he says, Simon, son of Jonah. He says, listen, Peter, you've been a long way. You've wandered a long way. You've denied me 3 times. But I want to take you right back to the beginning. You remember when we were at the seaside once before? You remember when you were fishing once before? And I came along and I just called you and said, come after me and I'll make you fishers of men. And you left the nets and you left the fishes and you left the tackle and you left all that and you came after me. Now you've gone back to it. The Lord lit a fire by the shore that morning, and the Lord cooked their breakfast. He lit the fire. God's a wonderful way in dealing with us. The last fireside by which the Apostle Peter stood, do you know where it was? The last fireside he stood by. I won't stop to read it. But when the Lord Jesus was standing before Caiaphas in the judgment hall, Peter was out in the yard of the high priest's palace. And it says they lit a fire. And Peter drew near to the fire because it was cold, it says. And a woman comes along and says, you're one of his disciples. He said, woman, I tell you, I never knew him. And he lied and he swore by the fireside. And the Lord is going to get back to Peter now and probe his heart and test him and prove him and make him what he wanted him to be. And so the Lord lit a fire. True, he gave him his food. True, they had a good breakfast there. That's how the Lord done it. He saw they were satisfied and happy and comfortable before he began to talk about the real thing. There's something, I don't know, always strikes me about being out in a camp somewhere and a campfire is lit and the embers of the fire begin to die down and the sparks fly up and the flames go down and the bright, brilliant glow of the wood that's burning and so on. I don't know, as you gaze into that, it makes you think of it. And the Lord did this. And as Peter looked into that fire, his mind went back not only to the first chapter of John, but his mind went back to those few chapters back when he stood by a fireside and denied the Lord. And now the Lord is going to test him. And he says, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? I would like to call my talk this morning, Lovest Thou Me? Lovest Thou Me? Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Oh, how that must have probed his heart. Listen, let's go back to chapter 13 a minute. Chapter 13, the Lord says, in verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answers him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me hereafter. Peter said to him, why cannot I follow thee now? I'll lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And Peter said, lo, all men forsake thee, yet will not I. Though all men forsake thee, yet were not I. And now the Lord says, you love me more than these? Now what did he mean by these? There are several interpretations, several suggestions as to what he meant by these. I think the general idea is that when he said more than these, he meant more than these. He said, if all men forsake thee, I won't. And here's all the other disciples here. Do you love me more than them? Once you said you love me more than any of them. If they all forsake you, I won't. Peter, do you love me more than these men? How about I can think of something else? Peter loved fishing, you know. He loved it. That's how he spent his living. And when he thought the game was up, he says, I'm going back fishing. And lying on the floor were 153 large fishes. And I could think the Lord could point at those and say, Simon, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than... Are you going back fishing, Peter? After all we've done and all we've learned in 3.5 years, do you remember long ago I said, follow me, and you left the fishes, and you left the boats, and you left the tackle, and you came after me, Peter, you love me more than these? What's it going to be, fishes or me? Do you love me more than these disciples? But you know, you've got to understand how this was written to really probe and know what the Lord was saying to Peter. Peter used a word which is the word in the Greek language for real, real love. The word agape. Agape is real love. And he said, Simon, son of Jonas, agapasme. That's the verb, agapasme. Do you love me more than these? And he uses this word, this real word. Do you love me with a real, deep, true love more than all these things? Oh, how that probed Peter's heart. And Peter said, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. But Peter didn't say what the Lord said. If Peter had said what the Lord said, reading in the Greek Testament, and I've got it here, he would have said, thou knowest, Lord, that I agapo, that's the verb agapo, I love, that I love you. And he'd used that word, but he didn't. He said phileo. Now phileo is another word. It means love, but it doesn't mean the kind of love that the Lord was talking about. I'll tell you where the word phileo comes in. Have you ever heard of Philadelphia? Brotherly love? Have you ever heard of a philharmonic society? People that love harmony, that love music? That's not the kind of love that a man's got for his wife. That's a different thing. The Lord talks about the real love. But Peter, how could he talk about that love? When Peter had denied the Lord 3 times and had made such a mess of it all, how could he talk about it? So he uses another word altogether. He says, Lord, I love you. But he says, I can't boast about it. It's not the kind of love that you're talking about. I really love you, but I wish I could express it as you express it. When he said that, the Lord said to him, all right then, feed my lambs. Now, earlier in the morning, he was teaching them about fishing, but now he's teaching them about shepherding. Feed my lambs. Peter, I'm going to build a church. And he told Peter that in the 16th chapter of Matthew, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church. Not on Peter, but upon the confession of Peter that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. On this rock I will build my church. The first time the word church is mentioned in the Bible, 16th chapter of Matthew. I'm going to build my church, Peter. I want you in that church. I've got work for you to do. There's going to be lambs in the church. They need feeding. Peter, I want you to feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Feed the young converts. Feed the young believers. Feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And the Lord again said, Agapas, may he use the same word exactly. And Peter replied the same way. He said, Lord, thou knowest that I, phileoste. He didn't say that deep word for love that the Lord used. But anyhow, he said, yes, Lord, I admit I love thee. I love thee. And then the Lord said to him, all right then, Peter, if you love me now this second time, I'll give you another order. And here he says in the Greek, phimeneta pravatamu, that means shepherd my sheep, shepherd my sheep. First he says, feed my lamb. And now he says, shepherd my sheep. Oh, Peter, there's a vast job to do. There's a great, how their minds must have gone back, how Peter's mind must have gone back to the, what we, it wasn't the 10th chapter of John to him, but it is to us. When the Lord said, I am the good shepherd, and he talked about the shepherd and the fold and the flock. Do you remember? 10th chapter. How the Lord now is pulling up things from the 1st chapter, things from the 10th chapter, things from here and there, and bring them all together. And he says, there's a big job to do, shepherding sheep. Peter, will you do this? If you really love me and you want to prove that love, then shepherd my sheep. Then he said to him again the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? I don't think Peter was grieved because he said it three times. He may have been, but I think he was grieved because of what the Lord said. When the Lord said this the third time, he changed the word from agape to the word phileo, and he said, Simon, phileis me? Simon, son of Jonah, phileis me? And Peter was grieved when he said, phileis me. Ah, yes, the Lord used Peter's word. If Peter couldn't rise to use the words, the Lord's word, and say, agapose, then Peter said, phileoste. And now the Lord says to him, all right then, Peter, we'll use your word. Simon, son of Jonas, phileis me. But listen to the answer. Lord, thou knowest all things that thou knowest that I phileoste. He didn't use the word agapo. He still kept to his own word. I don't blame Peter. Poor Peter. What could he say? How could he talk about love when he denied the Lord when the Lord needed him most? How could he talk about love? But he did love the Lord, although he used this poorer, weaker word. And the Lord turned to Peter and he said, all right then, Peter, I've got another thing for you to do. And this time he says, feed my sheep. First he said, feed my lambs. Then he said, shepherd my sheep. And now he says, feed my sheep. This is the work of the pastor in the church. This is the work of the shepherd amongst the flock. This is the work that God, that the Lord Jesus was teaching to Peter, and of course teaching to all of us. There are two ministries connected with the church today. One is preaching the gospel.
We were saying earlier this morning, reading from the fourth chapter of Ephesians, that when the Lord ascended up on high, he gave gifts to men, and the gifts were apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The evangelist is the fisher. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the evangelist's job, and there is no spot in all the world where he is not in his place to go there and to win souls to Christ. And then he brings them into the church, and then the pastor and the teacher, the shepherd in the church, takes hold of them, and he feeds the lambs, and he shepherds the sheep, and he feeds the sheep, and he builds them up. How well Peter learned the lesson. Let's turn over to the fifth chapter of Peter's first epistle and see how he puts it there. And let's see if he really learned what the Lord was saying to him. He says in the fifth chapter, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you." You see how Peter learned his lesson, and now he's passing the message on to the elders of his day. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereby, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Peter says, "I also am a shepherd, and I learned my lessons at the feet of the Master." But Peter was also a fisher. And Peter remembered the words which the Lord spoke to him, "Come after me and I'll make you to become fishers of men." And it was at the great day of Pentecost that the Apostle Peter preached the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit for the first time. And as a great fisher of men, he won 3,000 souls to Christ. So Peter played a double role, both as a fisher and as a shepherd. But our chapter is divided, as I said, into two parts. The first part is dealing with fishing, and the other is dealing with shepherding. And so, this morning, we come to the end of this wonderful Gospel of John. Peter there, listening to the voice of the Lord, follows him. It seems that at this point, they left the fireside and they began to walk along the shore. I remember this coming to me very forcibly on one occasion when I was at a graduation service, a commencement service at a college, a Bible school, and it came to me. I looked upon this as a kind of evening scene. But it's not an evening scene at all, it's a morning scene. They just had breakfast. They've been toiling all night. And when the morning came, the Lord was on the shore and had the breakfast ready for them, and this conversation followed the breakfast and the fireside there, at the fireside there, God had spoken to Peter. Now he says, "Follow me." And Peter and the Lord walk along the seashore. Doubtless the other disciples followed on, and Peter turned round and he said, "And Lord, what about this man?" Peter, turning, saw John following and said, "What about this man?" And the Lord said to him, "Now, Peter, I'm speaking to you. You follow me. I have work for John to do, but I'm telling you that you will follow in my steps." and you were going to be put to death as I was. When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. The day would come when Peter would stretch forth his hands to be nailed to a cross, just as the Lord Jesus had stretched forth his hands to be nailed to a cross. They would gird him. It seems as if, in some cases, they used a rope as well as the nails and bound them to the cross. And he says, another shall gird thee and take thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. What about John? The Lord will deal with John. John will suffer too, but God is dealing with Peter, and he says, follow me. In our meeting this morning, we have some young people. To you it's like commencement. Life lies ahead. These walks on the seashore, and the sea of life lies in front of you. And the Lord wants to make something out of your life. And he challenges your heart this morning. As you and I have looked into the fire and saw the embers of the fire dying there, and our hearts have been searched. And we remember the Lord's dealings with us in days of old, like the Lord dealt with Peter. And the Lord this morning would bring us to that wonderful spot where we can say, like Peter said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Is there someone here this morning saying that to the Lord, thou knowest that I love thee? Then the Lord is saying to you, follow me. And whatever the cost may be, whether the time be long or short, the Lord is leading us on, and we put our feet in his footsteps and we go forward along the sands of time upon the shore of life, to follow him and to serve him. Don't be bothering about the disciple by your side. Don't be asking what he is going to do or she is going to do. But you this morning settle before the Lord what you're going to do. That you're going to follow him. And yield your life to him this morning. John comes to the end of his wonderful gospel. What a wonderful gospel it's been. How we've enjoyed speaking about it week by week here. Some would say that when the Lord said, what is it if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? He didn't mean that John wouldn't die, but he meant, if John stays till I come back again, that's all right, that's my business with John. Your business is to follow me. And so John brings himself into the picture, and we see John going out here, the end of his wonderful gospel, and he says, this is the disciple which testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which, if they were written everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. He said there were many other miracles, he only chose 7. And now he says there are many other things which Jesus did. How true these words were. And he says, if they were all written, I suppose it's too much for the world to contain the books that could be written. Thank God that we have this wonderful Gospel of John. And as we come to the end of it this morning, may you and I bow our hearts before him. Yield our lives to him for the rest of the short time that's left for us. Shall we ask his blessing? Blessed Lord, we thank thee for these words. I pray thee, blessed God, that thou bless this short message and use it in all of our hearts to draw us closer to thee. We've stood by the fireside. We've stood by the lakeside. We've heard thy voice, blessed Lord, probing our heart. And we've heard thee say three times over, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me more than these things? How many things in our lives, Lord, we love? And we hear thee saying again, lovest thou me more than these things? Help us to yield up these things and to bow at thy blessed feet in adoration, Lord Jesus, to follow in thy steps, as long as thou shalt give us health and strength to do so. We pray there might be eternal blessing and eternal fruit and result from this morning's meeting. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus.